Well, welcome again. We're glad you're here today. We are, again, looking at great prayers of the Bible. And this one may be a little different. We'll see. We'll see. We will get into this. You see on the screen there, great prayers of the Bible. And the subtitle is David Inquired of the Lord. Would you like to know how to be led by the Holy Spirit? If you're led by the Spirit, you're not going to make dumb mistakes. You're not going to have disasters in your life. You're just going to be led. And I'll show you that as we go through this. David inquired of the Lord. You find there's a scripture here. The first one up here is Acts 13, verse 22. And you'll find that in a reading there when Paul's preaching a sermon. He mentions this. God testified concerning him, I have found David, King David. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Do you want to be a man or woman after God's own heart? Do you want to be close to God? Why wait till you get to heaven to be close to God? Do it now. Beat the rush. You know what I mean? Do it now. Just say, I want to be close to God. This says, David was a man after God's own heart. He was a man that had a kinship with God. You read the Psalms and you read that in David's Psalms, don't you? Psalms like the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. Right? He's writing about intimacy, our relationship with God. And you got to remember, David didn't have, he had the Holy Spirit with him, not the same way we do, but David didn't have a lot of the advantages we have. He didn't know the ministry of Christ. He didn't have all the advantages we have, yet he drew close to God. He wanted to be close to God. Being close to God is not a, being close to God is not a deficiency in your life. It's actually a plus. It's what makes your life go around. It is learning to be led by the Spirit. The next little line on that same panel has this. How was David led by the Spirit? You want to know how David was led by the Spirit? I'm going to show you some ways he was led by the Spirit. The next slide says, David often inquired of the Lord. Now, that is another way to say prayer. He's coming to God. He's saying to the Lord, Jehovah God, he's coming to him saying, well, what do you think about this? Isn't that amazing that you can come to God, he'll give you his advice. You ever taken somebody's advice and it didn't work out? Yeah, quite a bit, didn't it? But if you get his advice, is he ever wrong? Does he ever miss it? Anything ever sneak up on him? He knows all circumstances, all situations. And you come to him and you say, I need your help. I need to inquire of God. So David was good at inquiring of God. Number one, we're going to see, if you have your Bible handy, 1 Samuel 23. I'm going to go through some scriptures. So if I lose you, just write all these down. There are going to be several. Write all these down and go back later. You probably need to do that anyway. Write them down. Go back and reread these. There's some fascinating stories attached to these things. 1 Samuel 23, verse 1. When David was told, look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are looting the threshing floors, he inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up and attack the Philistines? Now, we would say, go, David. Yeah, go. No, David wanted to know. I mean, lives are at stake. Lives are at stake. And so David asks God, should I go up? He inquired of the Lord, verse 2, saying, shall I go and attack the Philistines? The Lord answered, go, attack the Philistines and save Keilah. There are people in there that need to be saved. The Philistines were a brutal people. They were, talk about atrocities of war, they were good at that. So God says to David, go up there and attack them and save that little town, Keilah. Now, I got to say something before we get too far into this. A lot of people read the Old Testament and say, why so much violence? Why so much war? David was called by God to protect something. What's he protecting? The messianic seed line. Now, I'll explain that, but the messianic seed line means God promised Abraham one of his descendants would bless all the nations. And we know that's a prophecy of Christ. In order for that to happen, the Jewish people had to be protected from their enemies. We've had people in the 20th century, even today you have some, that want to wipe out the Jewish people. Hitler was known for that. Some of the terrorists today, that's what they want, wipe out Israel. Well, you had folks like that back then. If they had wiped out Israel before the Messiah was born, they could have stopped what God was doing. Now, God's smarter than they are. So he knew what he was doing. And he said, so I'm going to have this physical group of people, but they've got to be protected. They've got to have an army. They have to have leaders, political leaders, to protect the nation. That's what was going on. So don't worry about it that David was told to go kill some people, because David was not born again like we are. And David had a different time in history, and God had a different mission for David. In fact, God at the end of it said, David, I'm not going to let you build a temple because you've shed a lot of blood. But it was God's idea, but still. God doesn't like war. He doesn't like killing people. But he saw us. He saw what we would enjoy thousands of years later if he protected those people and got the Messiah in place. So God said, go. Verse 3. But David's men said to him, here in Judah we're afraid. How much more? In other words, Saul, King Saul, the previous king, he's still king, and David had been anointed privately, but Saul is trying to kill David. And David's got a few men with him that are loyal to David, but Saul wants to kill them all. And basically they're saying, well, we've got a problem here in Judah. What about if we try to attack the Philistines? Those guys are tough. They're professionals. If we're afraid here in Judah, how much more than if we go to Keilah and attack the Philistine forces? Once again, David, that's probably number two on the next slide, isn't it? Once again, David inquired of the Lord. So he did it in verse, inquired of the Lord earlier, didn't he? In that verse. And now in this section, this is still in 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 4 and 5. Once again, David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him. So look at verse 1 Samuel 23, verse 4. Once again, David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, go down to Keilah, for I am going to give the Philistines into your hand. So David and his men went to Keilah, fought the Philistines, carried off their livestock. That's like you say, well, people so tough, they'll take your lunch. They took all of it. They took livestock and everything. He inflicted heavy losses on the Philistines and saved the people of Keilah. Now, so he inquired of God twice. He inquired of God once, and the men said, wait a minute, we're not sure we're buying into this mission. We got enough trouble here trying to run from Saul. Now you want us to go over there and attack this big army of the Philistines. So David went back. Isn't that something that David didn't blame his men? I can't get anybody to help me. What did he do? Go right back to God, inquired of the Lord, is this what you want? And the Lord said, do it. Did David hear from God? Can you hear from God? Oh, you've got the Spirit in you. David had the Holy Spirit working with him, but we have the Spirit in us. You can find out from God what's the best course of action. But if you don't bother, we just kind of slop through life and kind of like a boat going through and making a wave, and sometimes the wave is dangerous to other boats. We just live life haphazardly, don't really ask God, don't really pray, don't really ask. All kinds of bad things come out of that if you don't ask. If you don't ask, James said, if you don't have because you don't ask. So David was good at asking, wasn't he? So he asked. He inquired of the Lord again. Next slide, 1 Samuel 23, about verse 10. 1 Samuel 23, verse 9. When David learned that Saul was plotting against him, he said to Abiathar, the priest, bring the ephod. What's an ephod? Well, it's a priestly garment, like the breastplate that had lights on it. I mean, it had jewels on it. Somehow they were using that to find out what God wanted. I don't know how they did that, but they did that. And so what he meant was, I need a priest to come in here and help me find out what God wants. Bring the ephod, David said. O Lord, God of Israel, your servant has heard definitely that Saul plans to come to Keilah. All right, this is a town they just saved, and Saul's been chasing him anyway, and Saul's come into that little town to see what David was up to. David had spared that city and killed all the, ran off all the Philistines. So he's heard, and he tells the Lord, verse 10, O Lord, God of Israel, your servant has heard definitely that Saul plans to come to Keilah and destroy the town on account of me. He's coming after me, and he's going to destroy the town. Philistines couldn't do it, but he's going to do it. Will the city, here's his question to God, will the citizens of Keilah surrender me to him? Isn't that something? He just saved their hide. And he said, but I don't trust them. You know, it would be easy for a human being to say, well, I just saved their hide. They're going to be good to me. David wasn't that gullible. What did he say? I'm going to talk to God about this. I'm going to talk to God about this. Will the citizens of Keilah surrender me to him? Will Saul come down? As your servant has heard, O God of Israel. And the Lord said, he will. Did the Lord know what Saul was doing? Uh-huh. He said, he's coming. Again, David said, will the citizens of Keilah surrender me and my men to Saul? The Lord said, guess what? Uh-huh. Wow, David just dodged a big bullet there, didn't he? Because he stopped and he asked. How many times have we not asked? We found out later, I shouldn't have done that. Maybe I should have prayed about it. Yeah, maybe you should. We've all been there, right? It's like, oh, if I had just asked. Now I'm in a mess here, and I got to clean it up. I don't know how to get through all this. Help me, Lord. Then you got to beg God to help you out, right? When you wouldn't even listen to him to start with. So that was in verse 12. The Lord said, they will. So David and his men, about 600 number, left Keilah and kept moving from place to place. David said, well, we're leaving this place. Smart enough to ask God, wasn't he? Number four. Next slide. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I know I'm getting through these hurriedly, but we're going to move on. You can read these later for yourself. I'm just giving you the appetizer. You ever go in a restaurant and get the appetizer? Sometimes that's too much food, isn't it? This is the appetizer. Chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Verse 1, David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev, or the south, the southern area, and Ziklag. That's a little village where David had set up his headquarters. The Amalekites, they're not the Philistines, this other group. There's a lot of bad tribes in that area, right? A lot of bad biker gangs over there. They had to attack Ziklag and burned it, taken captive the women and all who were in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. This was their headquarters. And I'm sure they're thinking, why did you pick this place? You set us up in here, and now we got blindsided by this other tribe over here. Now we lost our families. We've lost everything in the town. They showed up at the town, and this is burning rubble. That's all that's left of the town. Verse 6, David was greatly distressed because the men were talking about stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. Oh, what a verse. But David found strength in the Lord. You got to learn that skill. You have to have that skill to survive in this dark, evil world. You just got to get to the point where I got to encourage myself. Preacher might not always be around. I might not be able to get to church for 6 months, whatever. You just get to the point where you have to do like David. He found strength in the Lord. He strengthened himself in the Lord. How did he do that? He must have talked to the Lord. Sang some of his psalms to the Lord. But he got close. He got close. Strengthened himself in the Lord. Verse 7. David said to Abiathar the priest, son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. That's that thing again where they would find out what God wanted. It's a prayer tool. Abiathar brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake? Now notice that. These people that just destroyed their town, stole everything, kidnapped all their families, and David's stopping to ask God? The men are already so mad at him, they're going to stone him, trying to, thinking about it. So David says, wait a minute. Anger, frustration, revenge could have risen up in most people and said, we're going after those guys. We're going to get every one of them, and we're going to get our families. What did David do? He inquired of the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. I admire him for that, don't you? Shall I pursue the raiding party, or will I overtake it? Pursue them, God said. You will certainly overtake and succeed in the rescue. Guess what happened? They overtook, succeeded in the rescue. None of their people were killed or hurt. They brought their families back, and they gave the Amalekites a big thumping, and they left. So, was he smart to ask? Could have gotten himself and half the people killed, running on revenge or anger. Some people are so angry. There's anger all in this world, and it filters into the church, just angry about everything. I'm not being treated right. You're just angry. David could have said, we're going to go in there. Well, he backed up and he said, what do you think, Lord? He's strengthening himself in the Lord. And then he said, do you think I should go after them? Yes. Will I pursue them? Will I be able to overtake? Yes, do it. David inquired of the Lord. That's a beautiful passage you see again and again through this of David saying, the Word of God saying, David often inquired of the Lord. The fifth one's up here. This is going to be 2 Samuel now. This is further on. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. In the course of time, this is New International Version, in the course of time, David inquired of the Lord. What did he ask the Lord? Shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah? He asked. The Lord said, go up. David said, where shall I go? To Hebron, the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Can God give you specific answers? Specific answers? I know a man that prayed, he's passed on now, but I knew a man that prayed. He grew up here and moved off to another state, lived over there for a while, worked and got kind of ready to come back home, and he said, told me himself, he said, I wanted a wife. So I prayed. I said, Lord, I want a wife. And the Lord gave him a name. Turns out it was a lady he knew. The Lord gave him a name, by name, and he married this lady, and they raised a family. Both of them are passed on now, married all the rest of their adult life, never divorced. Can God give you specifics? You know what? God, through His Spirit, can make Himself understood. The Holy Spirit's the best teacher there that ever existed. He can teach you. He can give you names. He can give you specifics. But if you don't believe it, you don't ever ask. And so, but David said, now why did he say this? Well, he had just been anointed king. He had been anointed king privately. What he's saying here is, do I need to go to Judah? Shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah? Yes. Which one? Hebron. Look at verse 3. David also took the men who were with him, each with his family, and they settled in Hebron and its towns. So he's got his little army with him. Verse 4. Then the men of Judah came to Hebron. They came from all over Judah to this little town. And there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. What he's asking God is, are you ready for me to go and take kingship over this whole area, over all of your people? God said, go. So what he's asking is, do I need to go over there and make myself available? And God said, go. All right, tell me which town? Hebron. So David went to Hebron, and that's where all of them gathered, and they anointed him king. He'd already been anointed privately, but this was the final thing. He was anointed king. Number 6. Are we up to number 6? Yeah. Yeah, to Hebron, that was number 6. Number 7, David inquired of the Lord. This is 2 Samuel chapter 5. Chapter 5. David inquired of the Lord, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Those Philistines were a pest, aren't they? They just show up everywhere. And he said, am I going to have to do this again? That's verse 5. Second Samuel chapter 5, verse 17. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search. The Philistines say, "We got to stop this guy. He's now king. We better cut this thing short." So they went up in full force to search for him, but David heard about it, went to his stronghold, got in his fortress. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me?" The Lord answered, "Go, for I will surely hand the Philistines over to you." Specifics. Isn't that amazing? Oh, David was such a man, a man after God's own heart. What the Bible says about him, right? God said, "Go, I'll surely hand the Philistines over to you." Verse 22. Well, he defeated them that time, verse 22, which is probably number 8 on the screen there. Once more the Philistines came up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim, so David inquired of the Lord. He answered, here's what God said to him this time. Every other time, what did God say? Yes. Go. Yes, sir. And he went. Look what God said this time. Do not go straight up, but circle around behind them. God's the best general you could have, right? Go around behind them and attack them in front of the balsam trees as soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the trees. Move quickly, because that will mean the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine. Oh, the Lord's going to do this. What's he saying? Don't go straight. Go around behind, get in this tree, grove of trees here, and just wait. Isn't God smart? Wasn't David God? Well, David smart to listen to God? What's God say? Notice what he said. When do you act? Soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the trees. Do you remember the story of Elijah the prophet where they had encircled the city, the enemy, they wanted to arrest Elijah, and they had encircled the city. And the prophet's servant woke up the next morning and said, "They've surrounded us." There were two of them, right? And this whole army out there. Remember the prophet said, "They're more with us than with them." And I guess the prophet's servant had to think a little bit. And then the prophet said, "Open his eyes." Open his eyes, what did he see? Chariots of fire all around. Chariots of fire? Not chariots on fire, chariots of fire. Angelic armies. I think that's what God's talking about here. I'm going to send my army to take the brunt of this thing. So you go around behind and you wait in the grove when you hear marching in the tops of the trees. A little symbol, a little idea that God's on the march. Then, he says, then you go. That will mean, because that will mean the Lord has gone out in front of you and to strike the Philistine army. So David did as the Lord commanded, and he struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. Wow, God, David was smart to listen to God, wasn't he? So smart to listen to God. Next slide, number 9. During the reign of David, there was a famine. This is all the way into 2 Samuel 21, if you're keeping up with that, writing these down. 2 Samuel 21, verse 1. During the reign of David, there was a famine 3 successive years. So David sought the face of the Lord. Same idea as inquiring. That King James, I think, has inquiring the Lord, inquired of the Lord. The Lord said, and now what does David want to know? Why there's famine? You ever wonder why things are going wrong? And it keeps going wrong, keeps going wrong, keeps going wrong. Ask the Lord. I love that story, Joyce Meyer. Most of you know her story. She was molested by her own father for many years. And she married a guy, and that marriage didn't work. She married another guy. Dave is her husband now. And she said, "Dave was so calm about everything, it irritated me. He wouldn't get worried when we had bills due. We didn't have the money, but he wouldn't say, 'Okay, Lord's going to take care of it.'" She'd get irritated with that, you know. She said, "I was praying one time for God to fix David." I'm just praying, fix him, fix him. I want you to fix him, God. She said, I was intensely praying. Will you please fix David? She said, I heard this little voice that said, David's not the problem. Ouch. David's not the problem. Did King David here want to know what the problem was? 3 years of famine. What's going on, Lord? 3 years of famine. The Lord said, it's on account of Saul and his blood-stained house. Saul was dead by this time. He was the first king, and he turned out to be a wicked one. Didn't really follow what God wanted him to do. So David's praying. Saul's dead and gone. But God said, you got a problem because Saul, you know, sometimes, doesn't the Bible say that your sins will find you out? What did Saul do? Well, let me chart the story for you because I don't have much time, but you can write down Joshua chapter 9 and read the whole story. Joshua is leading the people in to the promised land. They get over in the edge of the promised land, and a group of people show up from that Canaan area and the potential enemies for Israel. So Israel stops, and these people show up, and they have old worn-out saddlebags. They pull out their provisions. These people, Gibeonites is who they were, and they pull out their provisions, and all the bread is moldy, and their clothes are looking bad shape. And these people say, we've been riding for a long, long way, and we just want you to know that we're here to make a treaty. We live in that land over there, but we'll make a treaty with you, and you won't have to fight us. You won't have to defeat us. And so we'll make a treaty with you. And but we don't live in the land. We live way on the other side. You know, kind of that's, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what they were saying. And they looked at everything on the surface. And it says in Joshua chapter 9, that's on the screen next, I think. The Israelites sampled their provisions. Whose provisions? Gibeonites. Who said they lived a long way off. Sample their provisions. What did they not do? Can you see it? Now that's Israel under Joshua. Joshua was a long time before David. The beginning of them coming in the promised land. They did not inquire of the Lord. They said, looks pretty good to us. Yeah, these poor guys, they look worn out. Look at these donkeys. Look at these saddlebags. Look at the sacks they carry their stuff in. About worn out. Look like they haven't shaved in a year. I mean, they didn't say all that, but it's the idea that they're coming just looking so beat up, bedraggled, and they're saying to Joshua, look, we're not even from around here. We just want to make a treaty with you. Why was that important? Because God told them before they ever went in the promised land, do not worship their gods and do not make any treaties with those people in that land or it'll come back to bite you. Paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. You'll pay a price. So they found out, Joshua and his people found out the hard way, that the Gibeonites lived pretty close by, and now they had made a treaty with them, and they couldn't break their word. So the people were angry with Joshua for making a treaty with these guys, and Joshua said, well, okay, we'll just make them water carriers and woodcutters. They'll just cut our wood for us, and they'll carry water, but we can't destroy them because we made a treaty. Well, guess what happened? Saul, later on, had this bright idea, let's just destroy the Gibeonites. He broke the treaty that Israel had made with Gibeon. And God just informed David, when David said, why this famine like this? What did God say? Because Saul has a blood-stained house, that means his people are still bloody people, blood-stained house of Saul because he killed all the Gibeonites. Amazing. If David had not inquired of the Lord, he wouldn't have known. So he took measures to correct that. Pretty gruesome measures, but you have to read about it. He took measures to correct that. David inquired of the Lord, but Joshua and his crowd didn't bother. And they lived, in fact, you remember Joshua, where the story where the sun stood still, and Joshua was in a battle, and he prayed for the sun to stop and give him more time. That was because a group attacked the Gibeonites and Saul was required by treaty to go help them fight them off. So he's in a battle that they didn't need. He's in a battle that they didn't start. He's in a battle that really wasn't their battle, but they made a treaty with those people. And a treaty means you got to come help us when we're under siege. So he wasted a lot of his men and materials over there trying to fight off, and they did help the Gibeonites survive. Isn't that something? What happens when you don't inquire of the Lord? Disaster. You make treaties, marriage arrangements. You marry people you don't even know. You don't, but people do these days. Hardly know anybody, marry them. Didn't inquire of the Lord. Christians ought to be doing that, right? We ought to be doing that. What job should I take, Lord? Or what about this? I need help with this. What's going to happen with this? I need some help. How do I help my kids? How do I help my grandkids? How do I be led by the Spirit? It's the same idea, isn't it? Led by the Spirit. How then was David led by the Spirit? He knew that if you don't ask, you don't get. And you go wandering off. What happens to a sheep and a herd of sheep or a flock of sheep and have a great shepherd and sheep are all fairly healthy and well taken care of? One wanders off. What happens? Usually they become lunch for somebody. You got to stay close to the Lord in this crazy time, don't you? That's why so many people coming back to the Lord. So many people coming to the Lord in these big revivals, and they weren't planned. They just break out in places like Asbury University, and it's happened in other places. Nicaragua here is having a massive revival down there. People are finally realizing this place is a mess, and I don't want my family and me to go down the tubes with this crazy generation. Paul said, or Peter rather said in Acts 2, save yourselves from this crooked generation. 3,000 of them did. They were baptized that same day, weren't they? Inquire of the Lord. Speaking of that, the last slide. Ask and it'll be given. Didn't Jesus say this? I highlighted, ask, seek, knock. This is Matthew 7:7. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. That means ask, continue to. The Greek language says continue to ask. And seek, continue to knock. We're doing that with this notebook, with all these names in the notebook. And we're going to pray over these, like we always do, and praying that these things will, these individuals in these, in our notebook here will hear the voice of God. They'll be open to God's ways. They'll start thinking about greater things than just their little life here. They'll become more open to God, and as they open up to Him, He's able to do more with them. Like He opened Lydia's heart in the book of Acts, right? There weren't even a synagogue there. That Paul and his companions just went to the riverside to pray, and these women showed up. And Paul spoke the gospel to them, and she and all her household baptized that same day. So, Lord opened her heart. We can't open hearts, but we can ask the heart opener to go in and open. So we're going to do that now. Father, we do ask that. All these names represent lives, people who have problems and issues and desires, and they have hope or lack of hope. We just pray for them all, Father. All these, I know some have already made their change. You've made a change in them. We pray that continues, Father. We pray that you continue to work in their lives so that Christ can come into them by your word, and be brought in, they'll be brought into the kingdom of God. We want also, Father, those who fell away maybe to come back. We want them to find their spiritual roots again and find their stability again to come back to you. We thank you, Father, for hearing us today. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Take your songbook, if you will, and we're going to be singing together here in just a moment.